Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. All right, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Pete, Mike across the way, Bogish with your updates. As we take you for another couple hours, right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific, coming up later on the program. We're going to be joined by former Heisman Trophy winner with Florida State and former NBA guard with the Knicks, and that is Charlie Ward. Get his thoughts on Kyler Murray as he makes the transition from Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at at Oklahoma to what he hopes to believe the first quarterback off the board come April and the upcoming 2019 NFL draft, Taz. And that's where we'll kick off this hour. Not about Kyler Murray, but more so about football. And there was a meeting yesterday in Pittsburgh between Antonio Brown and Rooney. The Twitter post or Instagram post was thrown out there as well. And they came to a meeting of minds that, it's time to move on, that Antonio Brown's obviously done with the Steelers organization and, the Steelers are done with Antonio Brown.
Yeah. And if I was a Steeler fan, I'd be happy, just because I know how great of a player this guy is, but he is really just a massive distraction. We've talked about him a whole bunch on this show. You can't go anywhere without watching something on sports, on television. There's people that cover sports and hearing about his social media rants and outbreaks and comments, negative slants towards the team that he's made millions of dollars with and that he made money for, and that he's had a lot of
guaranteed money.
He's got a lot of success with, you know what I mean? I'm just, as a non-Steeler fan, I've grown sick of this guy, you know, really. Now, as a Buffalo Bill fan, if he went to the Bills, from a football perspective, I'd be happy because I know how great of a player he is. But he is just, and like I said the other day, and I know you and I are on the same page in this, wherever he ends up that first year, I think he will be on his best behavior. And then after that, good luck, because this guy, once he gets comfortable, he is going to be a nightmare. And the older he gets, the more freaked out he's getting, the more weird he's getting, the more paranoid he's getting. Of course, these other kids that are coming up, they're getting more hype, they're getting more yards, they're getting more. Look, we saw with the Steelers, the team named Juju Smith-Schuster, the MVP of the team. You know, and he was voted in. The coaches didn't pick, the players did. And you talked about it, I've talked about it here together, how much that's definitely, you know, pissed off AB. But yeah, no, if I'm the Steelers, that's great. Bye-bye, see you. That's good that they had a meeting and it's going to be. Have shake hands, hug it out, see you later.
I wouldn't touch Antonio Brown with a 10-foot pole. I really wouldn't. I'd want no part of him. I wouldn't want the distraction. I wouldn't want the headache. I wouldn't want the annoyance, the nonsense that comes along with it. I'd want him to be all in, obviously. And, at 30 years of age, I would want no part of Antonio Brown. And maybe at one point in time before everything, how he just absolutely besieged social media, maybe at one point in time, Taz, I'd said, oh, you know what, I'd kick the tires on Brown.
Yeah,
even after the relationship ended. But, the stuff with, this quote-unquote interview that never transpired with a former teammate, right, to the nonsense that we played the other day with him being on a elliptical machine in his basement or house, wherever it might be.
This is not a game, people.
And he's talking just complete and utter nonsense and gibberish for 7-8 minutes, however long that video went, Taz. I want no part of Antonio Brown. I mean, I really don't. And then, you look at on the whole, he's an unbelievable player, and I get it. And some team's going to bring him aboard and going to say, oh, we're going to be able to handle him. And like we said, that he's going to be on his best behavior year one. I just don't think it's worth the game. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah,
I'm
with you, dude.
If I had a young developing quarterback, I'd want no part of Antonio Brown. It'd have to be an established quarterback, a guy that it's that guy's team. He's a franchise signal caller. Nobody whose job could be on the line or is playing for no part of that. Because I think Antonio Brown would be nothing but a headache, as we've seen with other veteran receivers.
Well, to the point I made and the point you're making, like, would you really want, just rhetorically asking this, like, would you really want to bring in, you know, a young receiver in, you know, from whatever, from another team or from you know, coming out of the draft in college? Would you really want a young receiver learning under this guy or just seeing his antics on social media, seeing the way he acts in the locker room? And all this kind of jazz. Would you really? You don't want your young up and coming guys around this guy. You don't know, really. You don't want that. That's the worst. That's the last thing you want, because it creates a cancer in your locker room and in your team and in that wide receiver room. Okay, and that's the thing. So you know, DK Metcalf's a really good player coming out of Ole Miss. Really good wide receiver. Okay, let's say he goes to the Steelers and he's still with the Steelers. This guy here, AB. You know, do you want Metcalf around this guy? I wouldn't.
That's fair. I look at it more so not a case of guys learning from him, of him driving a kind of a spike through the locker room, of him not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and other guys on the team doing what they're supposed to be doing, and then you're starting to build up a little animosity that you have to deal with that new team. I don't disagree with you. I wouldn't want young players around him either, but I think Antonio Brown's antics could be divisive because he's shown you. As he's got a long year. And Bruce Arians is, what he said was not wrong. He's not the guy we drafted. And what he means by that is the success and the money has changed Antonio Brown.
Right.
I mean, and clearly it has. I mean, this was not his act in college. His act has progressively gotten worse with the more success that he's had. He's become more of a me guy. And I get that's the thing you need to be as an NFL wide receiver. You need to be a wide receiver, you know, a diva. I get all, I, you know, and we've seen other guys do it before in the past. Terrell Owens, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, whatever the hell you want to call them. You know, but I look at Brown, Taz, and I say to myself, he's a wonderful player. He's a wonderful talent. I don't need to deal with that headache.
Right.
I can find other ways to get my offense going. They've made it, the other thing, they've made it so easy to throw the football in the National Football League that, yeah, you want... You want great talent at the wide receiver position, but I could also find guys that could fill those roles and be productive. Maybe not as productive, maybe not as skilled as Antonio Brown, but my offense can work nonetheless.
And be much less of a headache.
Correct.
You know, and be much, and a guy that's willing to work within the system, a system. You know what I mean? Like, and look, people could say whatever they want about Mike Tomlin. I got to tell you, after seeing the latest antics with this guy here, Antonio Brown, on social media, especially the stuff we were messing around with yesterday with the elliptical, you know, when he was on the elliptical machine, you know.
Got five kids.
You know, I got to tell you, Tomlin, I got to be honest, Moose, I got like a different level of respect for him. That guy's got more patience than I would have had with this guy. I got to be honest. I mean, he's been patient. He has been. People could say whatever they want. Terry Bradshaw, legend, great, amazing, unbelievable, Hall of Fame guy, got it. Great Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, had a lot of negative stuff to say about Tomlin. I got it. But you know what? Tomlin, just to be able to deal with Antonio Brown's BS, I tip my cap to that man. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, and I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form. I don't. I think everything in Pittsburgh now, there's criticisms of Tomlin as an in-game manager, and we've been down that road, how he handles certain things, but Antonio Brown's a nuisance.
Oh,
I mean, he really is. He's a complete and utter nuisance. The Steelers now can't wait to get rid of that headache. And now for another team, you know they're going to gamble on him. I would think that there are some teams that might have been interested in Antonio Brown that his social media antics have turned them off. Hasn't turned everybody off. They're going to trade him. Now, what kind of value will they get back for him? I doubt they get a first-round draft choice for him. I think maybe you're looking at a 2 and a 3 or a 3 and a 4, something of that nature, Taz. I don't know if anybody's going to give you a first-round pick for Antonio Brown, given where he is, the value. I think he's hurt his value, and Pittsburgh basically saying, we've got to trade him.
Yeah.
That all hurts the value when you make a call or somebody calls Pittsburgh and says, hey, I'm interested in number 84, and you demand a first-round draft choice when you've already made the declaration we're trading him.
Yeah, I know. It's
so. So I mean, that instance is But he's going to go, and he's got to go. The situation
right.
is
no, he does.
Is so untenable that Antonio Brown's got to go. The one thing I'd like, can you just stay off social media until it's done?
He can't, bro.
He's just obsessed. Stop? I don't need to see any more posts.
I'm sick of it.
I don't want to see this so-called fake news interview with James Harrison that never happened. I don't want to see any of it. I really don't. Or him is spewing this complete utter nonsense. You know, if your team's got guaranteed money, give me a call. Hey, Antonio, you're under contract.
Right, right.
What are you talking about?
Just know I'm still hungry.
And he better not be of the notion, Taz, that he gets traded and he's going to get a new deal.
Oh, dude, who's where's he going to go?
Plus, he's like, I got five.
He's going to go somewhere.
You made $70 million.
He's going to go somewhere.
Yes.
You know that. He's
going to go to the 49ers.
Yeah, well, that's where he really wants to go.
Jerry Rice, the great talent evaluator that he is as well.
They just got to be thinking, oh, man. Just imagine Garoppolo. He's like, well, this guy's a great player, but, God, he's going to be a real pain in the neck. Really, I mean, this guy.
Big chest brown for now on.
It's a big chest.
I think Garoppolo's just worried about staying healthy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, and his... Yeah, he probably is worried just about staying healthy. But, he's all these players in the league right now, it's the offseason. They got nothing to do except, train and pay attention to some stuff on social media. Hear the scuttlebutt offseason moves. And Antonio Brown, as usual, is dominating the offseason conversation. It just every day. At one point, I would say this guy's great as a publicist for himself. He knows how to be a self-promoter, and I think that's important for athletes and public people to do. But he's well past the point of overstaying his welcome, bro. I promise you that.
I don't disagree
Boom,
with you there.
There it is. Right.
Then we go out to Los Angeles, and, interesting, a little bit of clarity surrounding the Rams and Todd Gurley. And, listen, we said it at the time after the NFC Championship game, and certainly with the lack of use in the Super Bowl, even though there was the great smokescreen that Todd Gurley was going to get tremendous work, and the Rams and were telling everybody that he was that was surrounding that game being a CBS event, as we saw it, that he's going to get his normal workload. He didn't. And now we have a little bit of clarity as C.J. Anderson added to it yesterday, Taz, by basically saying no uncertain terms that, he was brought in. Gurley was hurt worse than they initially thought he was.
You and I have talked about this a lot, as you said, when this was going on in the postseason with NFC Championship, the Super Bowl and all this jazz, when Gurley wasn't getting a lot of burn, and I'm not confused, but it's interesting to me that C.J. Anderson would say this publicly with a camera in his face when, Sean McVay wouldn't say this. Like, nobody else was saying this after the Super Bowl. After you got your rear end kicked by the Pats, nobody was saying this about Gurley. And that for him to say, I have no beef with C.J. Anderson. I'm just confused. Like, why wouldn't, it's more about McVay. Like, why wouldn't the head coach say this? Or the organization? Or Todd Gurley? I understand you want to make it look like an excuse. I got that.
I think from the athlete's perspective, I think that's it.
Yeah, but usually the head coach will take the heat. He'll so the athlete doesn't look soft.
But let me ask
the head
you
coach
this. How do you come out? After you told Gurley was told everyone all week long that Gurley was healthy, then how do you after the game then say he wasn't?
Well, you got to say
a violation of NFL rules.
You got to figure something. And we've seen guys kind of finagle with this a little bit. They say things certain ways. There's ways you could skirt it, as you know. You got pregame, he got a little banged up, whatever. I mean, he's got some soreness in the wheel and the knee. Something's got it. Had to be said. I'm just surprised that C.J. Anderson's the guy to say
it. But then you're going to go to Gurley and say, "Wait a second, you couldn't run the ball because you were sore, or you're compounding the problem, are you not? I mean, you lied to begin with, right?
Right.
Because Gurley clearly was hurt. You can't, the whole notion that Anderson was a better matchup. I mean, Todd Gurley's a top two running back in the sport. I mean. That you had some guys say, well, even at the Rams, somebody at McVay talking about the matchup of C.J. Anderson. When you just gave Gurley, what, $45 million extension or whatever it was last offseason.
I think that was it, $45 million.
Right, so, yeah. I mean, you mean to tell me I'm going to I'm taking Jim Brown out of the game, Emmitt Smith out of the game,
of
Barry
course.
Sanders out of the game,
to
get the backup some work because I like the fact that he's more of a north-south runner. No, that to me made no sense. So we all knew what the truth was, Taz, but I don't think the Rams, after they told everybody at CBS, after they told everybody during the course of the week leading up to the Super Bowl that Gurley was A-OK, 100% healthy, after Gurley basically said it as well, after McVay said it, that after the game, after once again having little to no work or very limited work, then saying, well, listen, all week long is he was about 60%.
Well, listen, the week...
I don't think they could do that.
Well, I understand.
I think they'd face a massive fine from the National Football League.
I understand what you're saying, and you're spot on. You are, but the thing is, and you know this, the week going into the Super Bowl, the narrative at the Rams camp was loud and clear.
Yeah.
That, you know where I'm going with this, Todd Gurley was going to be running the ball. Todd Gurley was tweeting how much he loved the team. Everything. He's ready to go. Bah, bah, bah. Todd Gurley, and he didn't do nothing. He didn't get a lot of touches in the Super Bowl.
He did not, but isn't that, Taz, when you look back at it, isn't that a case of gamesmanship?
Could be. I mean, it could be. It didn't work, but it could be.
It didn't work. I'm not telling you that.
No, but it could be. You're right.
Right, because why give the Patriots an advantage in their preparations when you want to make sure that everyone's A-OK and 100% healthy?
Yeah.
You want to send the notion of the Pats have to prepare for 100% Todd Gurley, even though the Rams know that he's not. I mean, listen, what Anderson said is basically what we all thought. I mean, there's nobody walking around, you know, going to get a latte at Starbucks and saying, listen, Anderson was, you know, I can understand why Gurley got limited, no use. I mean, he was 100% healthy. I mean, we all thought coming out of that game.
I don't want to, yes, but for me, I was a little bit, I'm going to be honest. I was out a little bit confused. I wasn't buying into the injury thing. I wasn't buying into it. I think I said that here several times, if memory serves me. I wasn't buying. Now, if CJ's telling the truth, then I was dead wrong, and I'll be wrong. That's fine. I felt like there was more to this than the guys got an injured knee, guys hurt. Because there were clusters, there were bursts that he would get on the field in the AFC Championship, in NFC Championship, I should say, in the Super Bowl, where Gurley looked explosive, looked awesome. And, bro, nobody, I didn't see, maybe I'm slightly exaggerating, the bulk of those two games, I did not see any member of medical staff on the sideline near Todd Gurley. And he was the thread of the broadcast. He was the conversation from the Rams offensive side where commentators for both those games were talking about Gurley. My point is, you know, we saw camera on him a lot on the sideline, but we never saw a trainer or anybody from the training staff talking to him. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we never saw it. We never heard the announcers pay attention to it.
I didn't see that.
Sideline reporter never said nothing.
I didn't see that, but, I mean, Taz, we've all watched Gurley run the football. We've all watched Anderson run the football. It would be a case of, you know, you're taking, you know, a top three player at his position out of the game for a guy that you just
came off the couch.
Scrappy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
That makes
I'm
no
not,
sense.
I'm not arguing that. I know you know that.
I believe now we have, regardless of what the motivation is for CJ Anderson,
you got some clarity.
And
now,
he even said, you know, listen, Gurley wouldn't say it, but it was the same knee that he had the knee injury with when he came back to college, right? It's that knee. He believes it was a sprained knee. I mean, they brought him in, and I understand Anderson ran the ball really well.
Yeah, he did.
And he's going to get himself a job in 2019 in the National Football League, and great for CJ Anderson, took advantage of an opportunity. But, Taz, when we look at that game and you say, well, how is Todd Gurley not getting touches? And it's very similar, you know, not very similar, but when you take a starter off the field, as we criticized the Patriots 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, when they take a corner off the field that's played and you're saying, why is he not playing?
The guy's crying on the sideline.
Right,
line.
And
tears.
We got no clarity about that, right?
No,
we don't
nothing.
Know exactly. We still don't know exactly what went wrong there, and everyone says, well, it was the matchup. That's nonsense. When a corner plays 97% of your defensive plays and then doesn't play in the Super Bowl, you look now with Gurley, at least we have a little bit of clarity here in terms of where that knee was and where he was health-wise.
And you're right. I guess I'm just being thick-headed, but I don't think T.J. Anderson would go out and lie. I don't think he would do that. He has nothing to gain for that. You know, I mean, he's actually protecting a guy that he's competing against that was on his team. You know what I mean?
And Gurley's not going to make any excuses.
Right, right. Well, I respect that too.
Here's the other thing. It didn't come back to haunt the Rams. You know why it didn't? Because Goff was brutal.
Yeah, he really was. And you could say what you want. Cooper Kupp wasn't there. You could say anybody can say what they want about Kupp and that. And I know they have great chemistry. Goff's got to be a player with or without Cooper
Todd
Kupp.
Curley. Yeah, and or yeah, without
that's
Cooper
what I'm saying.
Kupp,
I'm
right,
talking about as far as Goff goes.
I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree with you, and that gave him some cover. So I mean, as bad as it was not seeing Gurley on the field, Taz, there were throws that Goff needed to make, and he was clearly undone by the defensive scheme by the Pats.
No doubt, bro. Flores' defense, along with Bill Belichick, that Pats defense, you know, made frickin' Goff at times look like he was a junior in high school playing quarterback against an NFL defense. The kid looked so like, what am I doing? I don't know. What's going on? What am I doing? I felt bad for him.
Well, how about I keep on thinking about that one play where he eluded the pass rush. He's rolling outside the pocket. He's like 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. All he has to do, if he doesn't see anybody down the field, just throw the ball away. And he takes a sack from Kyle Van Noy for an 8 yard loss.
8 yard loss, I know.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Just totally confused.
I know.
It never ends. It all falls into place. Yeah.
At least I ended the season on a winning note.
Oh,
selection.
Yeah. Your AFC team. Oh, my gimmick.
AFC.
I didn't pick them out of a Dixie cup. You lucky thing, man.
That was after the Alex Smith acquisition.
Yeah, so you were so happy about that.
I'm a champion.
You were so happy about that.
No, it's nothing to do. I'm talking about betting.
No, I'm talking about you. That might have been one of the better hot takes that you've had on this show.
Oh, Alex Smith?
The Alex Smith rant.
It was all downhill after that.
Shades of Zachary at the down in Florida at the Yankees.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Shades of whatever the kid's name is.
It's Daz of the Moose. Want to hear from you. The clarity from C.J. Anderson. Also, if you're a team in desperate need for a playmaking wide receiver, do you want Antonio Brown? Do you want A.B. a part of your team? You've got the ability, if you're a Packer fan, 49er fan, Bills fan, whatever you might be, do you want Brown? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Taz Moose, Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4227, your number to call. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
You know, Moose, we were talking about Antonio Brown a lot in the last segment with the Pittsburgh Steelers that they're parting ways, and Antonio Brown's going to probably do something stupid again today on social media. Let's go to Pennsylvania and talk to Jared, listening on radio.com. Hey, Jared, what's up, man? You're on with Taz and Moose.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it,
you
Jared.
Got it. What's up?
So there are definitely, you know, like terrible organizations in the NFL, like the front office. And I'm thinking, I've called before many times. Moose, you probably know this. I'm a Redskins fan. You're a Redskins fan. Our front office is a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, the Browns front office has been a disaster for years. And there's other organizations that have made terrible moves, terrible player transactions, you know, whatever. But I don't see Pittsburgh being one of those. I think Pittsburgh is probably, you know, one of the most stable organizations, if not the most stable organization probably in the NFL.
And that'd be the Patriots, I think. I think that would be the Patriots.
Yeah, they're in the Patriots.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, like, the situation with Le'Veon Bell, how they handled that, how they didn't cave in. And I don't know if you've seen stories recently, but some of the stories have come out that saying Pittsburgh may transition tag Le'Veon Bell this season and make him sit out another year, just to kind of, you know, I guess maybe give it to him a little bit. I'm not sure what the reason is. I'm sure they're upset about the whole thing. But I was wondering, do you think that this can kind of be the same situation with Antonio Brown? Like, I would see, like, the Redskins making, like, a trade for a seventh-round pick for someone like Antonio Brown, like, making a dumb move. But I don't see Pittsburgh trading him for something that he's not worth. But I don't think teams are going to give them what he's worth at this point. So I'm just wondering if you think, like, Pittsburgh is going to cave. Do you think they can do the same situation that they've done with Le'Veon Bell to a certain extent, where they're going to make him just kind of sit, and if he wants to sit, he sits?
The difference is that Brown's under contract, right? So you'd have to pay him to keep him away, and they don't want him to be a part of the team. I mean, that's
they don't want him around.
Right, so
that's simple.
Right, so they've they've reached a decision here where they're not gonna, they're not stupid. They're not gonna pay Antonio Brown, hey, here's all this money, you don't have to show up, we're gonna pay you out. So that's not gonna be a case. Antonio Brown's not gonna give up that money, so he's gonna show up, right? I mean, for the most part, he is. Because he obviously made it perfectly clear on the elliptical machine, he wants his money.
And he has five kids.
And he's got five kids.
And
so
he's got a small chest.
I mean, for the Le'Veon Bell scenario is a different one because he threatened that he would sit out the year. He was not going to sign as the franchise tender, and he didn't.
Right. Right.
And he sat out the year.
He sat out the year. That's it. Jared, thanks for the call.
You got it.
Hey, Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
Moose, Taz, hi.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on? Well, you got an update?
I do. It's sponsored by Geico. There's great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Eric Hosmer got $144 million from the Padres a year ago. It took exactly 365 days for that to become chump change, with San Diego shaking hands with Manny Machado. 10 years and 300 mil. But Hosmer's happy for the help.
Whether it's before, ahead of me, or behind me, when you walk up to the plate and you see a guy like him on deck, you know, that definitely gets in the pitcher's mind, and it has to do with whatever his game plan is. So not only affects his spot in the lineup, it affects guys around him as well.
Machado's historic deal, not official yet. He still needs to pass a physical. That should happen tomorrow or Friday. While the Phillies remain the favorite for Bryce Harper, he's reportedly having some doubts about them, and the Padres, Giants, and White Sox remain in the hunt as well. Far more important is the passing of Don Newcomb. The former Dodger ace was 92. Newcomb won 27 games in 1956 to win the Cy Young and MVP awards. Rob Gronkowski may retire or return to the Patriots. Agent Drew Rosenhaus told ESPN yesterday that Gronk's still thinking over his future. A decision should come in the next few weeks. The Jaguars named Dom Capers a senior defensive assistant yesterday. He spent last season as an unpaid consultant for the team, and the Bucs signed veteran running back Andre Ellington. He couldn't find a job last season, but played for new head coach Bruce Arians in Arizona. College hoops, fourth-ranked Kentucky, a 66-58 win at Mizzou. Number 5 Tennessee downed Vandy, 58-46, and I swear, a dramatic win for number 15 Purdue at Indiana.
10 seconds left, out by the timeline. Here he comes. One-on-one, stops, he shoots, he misses, and it's tipped in by Harms.
Tim Newton, Learfield IMG College, getting excited just at the last moment there. The Boilermakers, a 48-46 win. That's the lowest scoring game in their series since 1950.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. The NBA season resumes tomorrow night. Clint Capella expected to play when his Rockets visit the Lakers. Capella has been out since surgery for a broken right thumb on January 17th. And from the NHL, the Blues beat the Leafs in OT 3-2, stretching their win streak to a franchise record 11 in a row. The Lightning on a 7-game run after winning in Philly 5-2 and Anaheim blanked Minnesota 4-0. The Ducks now 3 points behind the Wild for the second wild card spot in the West. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. What's the matter?
Well, I had a little, I told you the whole thing with the truck, you know,
yes.
Yesterday. Remember? With
the sheets of metal yesterday, right? Got out, I stole your spot, right?
Yeah. I was looking for you at the end of the show yesterday because I was on the street a little longer than normal. I couldn't get out because when I exit the building, there's my vehicle and there is a compressor, a truck, a small truck.
Yeah, I saw you.
Big compressor. Yeah, and I'm looking for Moose because I'm like, just a wave, just so I had some comfort. And then I just see your car, like, you just zip right by me. And I'm trying to negotiate with these gentlemen to let me out. They blocked me in, bro, with this compressor.
Well, they got street work to do.
Then this guy pulls up. He sees I'm trying to get out with a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Goes, listen, bro, I'll take your spot. Don't worry about it. When you leave, I'll take your spot. I go, hey, dude, I don't give a rat's ass who takes the spot. I need to go. And who are you? Because I work with these guys. I go, move the compressor. Move the compressor.
And they eventually did?
Took 5 minutes. The one guy speaking Spanish to me 100 miles. I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm like, no hablo inglés. Right? And he's going crazy with the Spanish. I have no idea what he's talking about. An older man. He was furious at me for some reason. And I'm like, and he was very old. His hands were like decrepit. He had the orange vest. He had the hard hat Jones, everything. And he's falling apart. The guy is shorter than me. And he's going crazy. I'm like, bro, Relax. He was a lot older than me. Otherwise, I probably would have dropped him right in the street, to be honest.
Can't be that.
Well, no, you can't be getting loud in my face. You know, so I'm parked legally. I was parked legally. That's my point. I did nothing wrong.
No, you did nothing wrong. They were just, but you should have, like we discussed yesterday, you could have gotten out of the spot, could have moved it car to another location,
but
and chose not to.
I was there first.
So you were cruising for it.
Well,
you were, and when the guy was like, "We're going to be doing construction," and you wedge yourself in between orange cones and sheets of metal.
No, bro, that's not really what happened.
You know you're cruising for it.
You're half right.
Well, you parked there originally, then they moved the sheets of metal in, and then you chose not to move your car.
Well, I tried to, but you took the spot I was going to take.
But you were going to go, you were going to park
illegally.
You took
the spot.
You're going to go reverse down three quarters of a street to pull into a spot that I parked in. That's illegal.
No.
Yes.
That's true.
That's illegal.
That part's illegal.
Right.
Going
that
in reverse,
aspect of it is
like
illegal.
I was Hooper.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
You could have saved yourself, as you were going through the story yesterday, you could have saved yourself a little bit of the aggravation by just originally moving the car when the sheets of metal came in.
You
tempted fate a little bit.
No, this thing would not have happened.
I was not surprised.
And of course it had to be you that had to zip into that spot like a sneak. Once that light turned green,
spot was
zip
wide
right
open
into the spot. Yeah, gigantic spot, no room for me. You just take the spot, and now I'm stuck there with my steering wheel in my hand.
Tash,
hello.
You made it perfectly. I mean, I get it, but I mean, you're Mr. Three Spots. You try and wedge your car into basically taking up three quarters of the street.
I have been guilty.
Yes.
But I will not say it. Why can't you just say, comfort me in this?
I'm sorry.
Why can't you just embrace me in this? Really? Why do you got to give me pushback?
That's terrible.
I mean, really,
that's
it sucks what happened here.
I understand. You know, I understand, but you could have prevented the headache.
Dude,
you knew. Well, but Taz.
The guy
I would have laid.
I asked
here's
the guy, bro.
I would have. Now, Pete, Mike will get your head. I would have laid 1-9 odds that when Taz walked out of here after he told that story at 9 a.m. yesterday morning, that there was a construction crew and cars around his vehicle. I would have put it at the odds at 1-9. So it can't be that surprising.
But this is why.
Correct, Pete?
I agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
Mike?
Yeah, I thought this was coming.
The Moose speaks, they all agree. I mean, you're King Fish. I mean,
no,
this is how
the
ding.
The guy told
they love you. They love you.
The guy told you when he's putting the sheets of metal said the story. He said, we're working on the street today.
Well,
you made the decision to keep your car there.
You are half
then
right.
You're complaining when there's construction guys around your car.
You are half right. Bro, this is the truth. I said to that guy at freaking 4:45 in the morning, I said to him, dude, am I all right here? Once you took my spot and had to go back to my original spot because they decided to bring half of the Allentown steel mill and park it behind my freaking car, okay? So I said to the guy, get out, right? He's got the remote control. He's doing the crane.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, bro. He's like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, bro, he goes, yeah, what's up? I'm like, dude, I got to talk to you. He goes, yeah, what's up, man? And he's looking at me, right? The guy's a giant, too, by the way. I'm like, listen, am I all right over here?
Well, he's not gonna hit your car.
He goes, well, he goes, listen, yeah, I'm not gonna hit your car. I go, no, I know you're not hitting my car. But am I all right later when I leave? Because, well, look, they just told me to drop the steel here. I go, listen, dude, I don't work with you or for you. Am I all right? I'm leaving here probably around, I don't know, 9:30 a.m., let's just say. He goes, dude, you're fine.
You're a smart guy.
He goes, dude, you're fine.
Taz, you're a
smart guy. That's what he said to me. Dude, you're fine.
Taz, you wouldn't have tried to move your car if you thought you would be fine.
Well, it didn't work. Because Sneaky Jones to my left over
here. Can I ask you, so, like, you know, you get out of your car, you're hollering at a guy who is up at 5 o'clock in the morning trying to move sheets of steel.
It's freezing cold out.
It's freezing cold outside, right? His hot cup of coffee just went cold in about 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And you're asking for that guy for parking advice at 5 a.m. in the morning in New York City.
Smart.
Yeah, is that what I'm to believe here?
Well, because
that's the guy that's supposed to tell you where you should leave your car and whether or not 4 hours later. You could have been like this. You could have been like, hey, listen, is there where can I get a good hot dog around here? Like three blocks up on the left.
He gave me one
good
of
luck.
These too. When I'm he goes,
yeah.
Because you couldn't hear me.
Right.
That's not
the guy I'd be looking for to get the most honest advice from. Or that would not be the guy I'd be leaning on.
He hits me one of these.
You're a smart guy.
When I finally got his attention, he goes, what do you got? What do you got? Like, what's up? What do you got?
Like he's up at 5 a.m. moving
miserable.
Sheets
he's
of
miserable.
Steel. Right. And you're asking him at 9:15 when you leave, is my car, am I going to be able to pull out of my spot?
You're fine.
You know what basically he's good. Doing to you as he answers your question? Giving you the middle finger.
Basically what he did. You're right. You're exactly right. Yes. What? You have something here, Pete?
No.
He's raising his hand.
It's time for break.
I'm not raising my hand.
Oh, pardon me.
Okay,
tough guy. Tough guy.
At least you got
I'm not raising my hand. You know what you can do with your hand? Stick it.
Right.
Okay, how about that? Stick it. Roll you people.
Hello,
roll
friends.
Sick of everybody.
Trevor Bowers
trying to be nice
rules
to people.
For dating. No. Well, you got out, though. You got out. You allowed your car to warm up a little bit, too.
Pete, the cold I didn't raise morning. My hand.
Yeah.
What time did you leave? 9:01 then?
No, I left 9:30. I had a meeting and then I left, sir. That's just what I did. You know better than that.
It was 9:04.
It was 9:30.
It was 9:04.
Low blow, Bilotti.
Let's be honest. Yeah, well, and
let's
Malusis.
Be honest. What do you
and
mean
Malusis.
I saw you?
Mark Malusis.
There were comments made.
I saw you. 9:04.
I had a meeting you didn't see on the 11th floor. Okay? Let's be honest here. You
what?
Saw. You
what
thought you saw me. I went
okay,
down to pay the meter.
Sorry, I didn't.
That's what happened.
But you,
I just tore my hamstring.
You're
backing
right.
Up.
You're right. I saw you at a meeting on the 11th floor.
All right.
In the cloud room.
Remember this, Moose.
What? Remember what? I have no
you'll
idea
see.
What you're talking
oh,
about.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about.
I don't. I said,
you
I have no idea
know.
What you're talking about.
You think you know. You don't want to know.
I have no
idea. Because I know.
I don't think I know anything.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
That's right.
Trevor Bowers. What are we talking about? Yeah. Trevor Bowers' rules of dating. We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On a Wednesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. Charlie Ward is going to join us 8:25 a.m. Eastern time. We look forward to that conversation. We got the three coming your way at the top of the hour. As pitchers and catchers have reported, Arizona and Florida, Taz, interesting comments about life from a 28-year-old starter with the Cleveland Indians, and that is Trevor Bauer, as he did an in-depth piece with Sports Illustrated, right? So Trevor Bauer, as we know, pitched at UCLA, right, didn't really get along all that much with Gerrit Cole. We saw him go back and forth with Gerrit Cole, the Houston Astros starter, former Pittsburgh Pirates starter last year, right?
Yep.
But amongst his things that he gave Ben Ryder from Sports Illustrated, he gave you his rules of relationships.
Mm.
So here they are, right? He said, yeah. Bauer now. I have three rules.
Okay.
One, no feelings.
Wow.
As soon as I sense you're developing feelings,
wow,
I'm going to cut it off because I'm not interested in a relationship and I'm emotionally unavailable.
Okay.
That's
two. Nice.
No social media posts about me while we're together, because private life stays private.
Okay.
Three. Now, this is the doozy.
I thought the first one was the doozy.
I sleep with other people.
Oh!
I'm going to continue to sleep with other people. If you're not okay with that, we won't sleep together, and that's perfectly fine.
Wow, bro.
We can just be perfectly polite, platonic friends.
Dude.
So, number one, why on earth? Right? Unless you are starving for some sort of attention or chasing athletes.
Mm-mm-mm.
He basically laid it out. Number one, he's not even, there's no emotional connection whatsoever.
Wow.
Number two is, you can't even, I get the social media stuff, right? I can understand
that. Yeah,
that
I agree with.
I can understand where if we're going out and we're dating, I don't want it on Facebook. I don't want it on Instagram. I don't want it on Twitter. I don't want where we're going, what we're doing. That's fine. I can understand that. You want your private life to stay private. I'll give it to him. And then three, well, I mean, there is no, I mean, it shouldn't be his three rules on relationships because there's really no relationship. If you're not emotionally involved and you're basically sleeping with anybody and everybody that you want to, even if you're with, quote unquote, someone else, how are there's any sort of relationship?
Well, Trevor Bauer is basing relationships on, it's basically a one-night stand. Like his whole rules for a woman to be with him is a one-night stand. That's basically what that is. Let's be honest. Number two, if you look at Trevor Bauer's face, this guy should not be making any rules. He should be happy he can get any girl. Okay, he's an ugly person. That's the other thing. He doesn't exactly look like Jimmy Garoppolo over here. Okay, to have this kind of rule set. It's not exactly Tom Brady here.
But a cutie.
You know what I mean? So it's just seriously. This guy needs to calm down.
Now,
here's
the question.
He's an ugly man, and I don't mean that disrespectfully.
Now, does he put these rules out there because the success rate is high, or we want to believe that his success rate is high? Is this a game of calling his bluff, or do you think he's putting this out there because obviously, as a 28-year-old single man, as a major league pitcher, a successful one with the Indians, a multimillionaire, that he's had a lot of success with this, and basically saying it's this way or no way? Or do you think he's bluffing? Do you think he's telling you, because we've all run into those guys growing up that want to tell you they've got more game. They've got more game tests than they really have.
Yes, I think it's that. I think I would call his bluff because if you look at him, the guy really not for nothing. I don't mean this between you and me. The guy looks like a goof. I mean, he doesn't exactly look like a handsome man. I mean, really, but he's coming across like the machismo thing. To your point, like I got these rules. This is how I line up for my ladies. Need to line up this way. Easy,
right
bro.
When he
calm
goes
down,
in okay? the when he's in the clubhouse telling people these rules, they're like, oh, here goes Trevor again on his dopey rules.
He's macho.
Right. But those are, I mean, it's an interesting rule. It's an interesting, he also went on to say if he was married, he'd be a terrible husband right now.
You think? No kidding.
And listen, everyone can live their life the way that they would live, but we talk about athletes not being role models. I would not look at these rules, and anyone can live their life whatever they want to do, but I would not look at these rules as kind of ground rules.
Yeah, these are not
for a young single person in America.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Be emotionally detached, no social media posts, and you could sleep with anybody and everybody.
I sleep around.
Right.
I sleep around. I'm like a dog in the street. That's just what I do.
Don't text me when we're on the road.
Don't text me when I'm on the road. Don't call me. Don't FaceTime me ever. Don't tweet about me. Don't put an Instagram post about you and I holding hands at a park.
Plus, if you ever tell me that you care about me, I'm out.
I'm out. I quit. I'm done. I'm dumping you. It's over.
Nope.
Bye-bye. This is Trevor Bauer. Are you kidding me?
He's a guy to root for, no?
Dude, he's not exactly Lee Mazzilli. Remember how Lee Mazzilli was a heartthrob, bro? Lee Mazzilli? This guy was a heartthrob, bro.
Yeah.
Really heartthrob. This guy, this guy don't look like Lee Mazzilli. I can't think of a better looking ball player from the last
1981 call.
Lee Mazzilli. Right. I understand.
Derek Jeter, how about
Sexy
that?
Jones.
Jeter's a good looking guy.
A-Rod. Right?
Yeah, A-Rod's another good looking guy. Okay, I guess I should have thought. I thought Lee Mazzilli.
Cologne.
Oh, Mazzilli had a beautiful, good looking guy.
He was.
Mazz, good looking guy.
In 82. You know, no, not really. I mean, it's like Bucky Dent. That guy was a heartthrob. You remember Bucky Dent?
Yes.
Shortstop Jones, yes, Yankees, right?
Of course.
That guy
I'm trying to remember what he looked like in his prime.
No, bro, look. Seriously, no. He was a heartthrob.
He was a good-looking guy.
He was a good-looking guy. Yeah, all the girls love Bucky Dent.
By the way, if you have yourself 30, 40 seconds, hop online. A-Rod posted a video. His girlfriend Jennifer Lopez.
Saw it last night.
His girlfriend Jennifer Lopez is out for a new role.
Yes, for a movie.
She's going to play a stripper, pole dancing.
Pole city. She's practicing on the pole.
That'll get your start. That'll get your Wednesday start off properly.
Agreed. Yes.
The three.
We got to get to a poll later on too.
Yes. We'll get that.
Not
the three
all
comes your
Between
way next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.